Well, praise the Lord, huh? So, as you know, the last months or so, God's been speaking to us a lot about His kingdom and also about what He's building, the church, where Christ is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. But today, I wanted to explain the kind of the interface a little bit between God's kingdom and the church, because, you know, His kingdom has been forever and it will be forever. It is forever, right? It's always existed. But the church began at Pentecost when God finally laid that chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus, died on the cross and rose again, and He was established as the foundation for the church. But what I want to talk about today is the interface between the kingdom, which is coming, and we pray that the kingdom come, thy will be done, both in heaven and on earth. So we know that the kingdom of God is coming to the earth, right? And there is an interface that God has given to us to combine or establish the church here on earth. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the gospel of the glory of Christ. It talks about the gospel of the glory of Christ. So what I want to say to you this morning is that the interface is the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what I want to talk about today. So the gospel of the glory of Christ. You see, Christ needs to be the center of all that we do. And if not, then it's another gospel, because Christ is the chief cornerstone. And what we see is that the way God established this was by anointing or sending the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And then we see that the gospel was being established. See, the gospel is the good news. The good news that we need to carry. In Isaiah 61:1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news. You see, That's how God made this interface from heaven to earth, is that he sent His Holy Spirit to anoint Christ to bring good news to the earth. So now I want to have you turn to I'm going to find it here. Turn to Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2. And that's going to be our primary text today. And this is what the Lord says. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. You know, what we're talking about here is Jesse was the father for King David, and Jesus is the son of David. Jesus the son of David, right? You know, it's out of his stem, out of that rod, Christ came. But it says that came forth the rod, and I want you to understand that this rod that it's talking about, we see first in Psalm 110, it talks about this rod. And it says, the Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand till I make it your enemies a footstool. And says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. See, this rod that it's talking about is the gospel. This is the rod or the scepter that's coming out of Zion and is the strength of Zion. In Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about, it says, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You who love righteousness and hate lawlessness, therefore, God, your God, has anointed you to bring the oil of gladness to all your companions. See, this good news brings joy, and it's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength, and it's talking about this rod of righteousness, this perfect plan that God has, which is his gospel, the interface. Oh, I lost the main verse. I didn't have a marker there. Let's go back to Isaiah 11. So he sent forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And now here's what God is saying. This is the aspect of the gospel where the Holy Spirit is anointing Christ and anointing us. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. See, there's six things here that talks about what the Holy Spirit brings, one, to Christ, and second, to us. The first one, it says that it's the spirit of wisdom. We see this in Jesus' life so evident in many stories we could talk about. The first one I wanted to mention was the one in John, I think it's in John chapter 8. And it talks about where the woman was caught in adultery, and they bring the woman before Jesus to try to entrap him, because if he doesn't give him mercy, they'll complain about that, and if he doesn't go with the law, they'll really be mad at him about that. And there's a lot been said of what he was drawing in the ground, but the point is that when he stood up, he spoke wisdom. And he said, you who are without sin, throw the first stone. And they all walked away, it says, from the oldest to the youngest. Because the oldest understands a few more things than the younger ones about themselves. But the point is that that word of wisdom, that spirit of wisdom now opened up the gospel. Because now Christ was able to bring mercy and forgiveness of sins to the woman. Do you see how the Spirit of wisdom brings the gospel? And that's what we need to do when we come into a situation and we don't know what to do. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom so that he can give us wisdom to speak into a situation, and then we can bring the good news. We can bring mercy. We can bring forgiveness from the sin. The second story that I love on this subject so much is when they tried to entrap Jesus with a coin and about taxes. They come to him and said, is it lawful to bring taxes to Caesar? And if he says yes, he's got a problem. If he says no, he's got a big problem. And so out of wisdom, he says, well, show me a coin. And he shows him a coin. Whose image and subscription is on the coin? He says, well, Caesar. And then he says, well, render to Caesar what's to Caesar. But then even more bringing wisdom to the situation, I think he looks out at those Pharisees and he says, render to God what is God. Because each of those Pharisees and you and I have the image of God imprinted on us. And we belong to him. So he again brought wisdom into it and then was able to express the gospel, because then they understood that they need to surrender their lives to Christ. Surrender their lives to God. Number two. It says the spirit of understanding. This one is very close to me, because what this one speaks of to me is what's the purpose. See, he understood what his purpose was. He understood that he came for a reason. He understood that he came to do much more than just teach a good message or give a good sermon or to even express a little wisdom around here and there, right? He understood that his purpose in coming was to please the Father. And for him, his purpose was to go to the cross and die upon the cross and then raise from the dead. See, he understood who his Father was. He understood what his purpose was. And the same needs to be in our life. We need to have the spirit of understanding in our life so that we understand what's really going on in this world. What our purpose is truly here on earth. And it's just not going out and earning a wage and figuring out how to heck get three meals a day on the table and get all the dishes done and make sure the house is clean. See, all those things are maybe good, but it's not your purpose. God could get a maid for that. Thank you, Joy. So we have a purpose. Each of us has the same purpose, and yet we have individual pieces of that same purpose. To bring the gospel, to bring the good news, to understand what God is doing in our day. We need the spirit of understanding. The next, it says, the spirit of counsel. We see this in Jesus' life, the way he gave messages and he gave advice to people. We see this in how he did the Sermon on the Mount and how he taught the people in a certain way and gave counsel, godly counsel, that cut through the religious system that he was in. We see that he gave messages out of parables, and so what he did is that he separated those who would listen and those who would not listen. And so he gave understanding to those that would open their eyes to see, and the other ones just didn't understand. It was amazing. It's amazing how he preached and how he gave advice and how he gave counsel. And we need to do the same, that it becomes godly counsel, that it becomes a spirit of counsel that comes from the Holy Spirit. Robin has learned that a lot in where she works, because the women come in with all kinds of issues in their life, and when she begins to listen to them, they're all over the map with all kinds of problems. And yet she needs to listen to that spirit of counsel so that she's able to zone in on a specific piece of what's going on in their life. And without that, we're lost. Where do you even begin with somebody with so many problems? We see in Jesus that he had the spirit of might or strength. And we see this so strongly in that he had the power over death. His might was cut through what would bring death and brought life to those situations. And it says that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is what? It dwells in us. See, we have, through the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that is of might and strength that brings power and victory over every situation that we encounter. So do not limit the power and the might, the strength that God has given to us. It says, the scripture that's close to me a lot is that in our weakness, he makes us strong. See, my body is frail, and it gets tired, and it gets sore, and yet in the middle of it, God gives strength to be able to accomplish whatever he's put in my path. The next says, it's the spirit of knowledge. We see this in Jesus' life when I love the pair or the story when the friends came and lowered down the paralytic through the house roof. I don't know who repaired it when they were done, but he got lowered down through there, and he speaks to the man, right? You know, your sins are forgiven first, right? And then he has a word of knowledge, knowing exactly what the Pharisees are thinking. So he turns to them and he states to them, you know, you said that, you know, who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. See, he spoke a word of knowledge exactly to what they were thinking in their hearts. And then he answers that for them. You know, he not only had the word of knowledge, now he answers them. And he says, okay, which is easier? To say that you're healed or your sins are forgiven? And he says, so that you know that I have the power to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk. See, it's an amazing story of how Christ had a word of knowledge. And then he spoke that word of knowledge and then completed it for them so they understood it. Bringing the gospel to all those around them. And I would like to believe, though I probably it's not true, that the Pharisees received the gospel that day and changed their hearts, but we know that probably not, right? They heard the gospel. He brought the gospel to them through the spirit of knowledge and then the healing, and yet they, you know, rejected it. So we need to have knowledge and understanding of our Father. We sang today, you know, that God is good. And without that knowledge, without that understanding of who God is, it's easy for us to stumble over our life and what's going on in our life. And yet we need to have this spirit of knowledge there. So that we can bring others to that understanding. See, our life becomes a testimony that God is good. And it comes out of our understanding, or it comes out of our knowledge of who God is in our life. The last one here it talks about is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Well, there's been a lot of discussion about the fear of the Lord and how does it relate, and you know, it's not a fear of dread, you know, a dread that we're concerned about the Lord zapping us and sending us to hell, right? Though that is part of it, right? But now that I have come to Christ and humbled myself before Him, that is not my dread, right? And it should not be yours if you came to the Lord, have come to the Lord. But there still needs to be this fear of the Lord. And what we see is that this same spirit of the fear of the Lord was anointed upon Christ. Now, I know that He had no dread about being sent to hell, though He went to hell and did some work down there. But the point is that Christ still had this healthy fear of the Lord, or fear of His Father, in that whatever He did, it says in Scripture, whatever in John 10 it talks about, if I do not do the works of my Father, don't believe in me. But Christ always honored and pleased His Father. See? That is the fear of the Lord, is for us to give honor to God and to want to please Him above all else. So the only way that we can fully enter into that honoring and pleasing of our Father is to have that in our heart, to have that spirit of the fear of the Lord in our heart, so that we hold God and hold Christ in a certain esteem, you know, esteeming Him in a way that we do not, whatever we do in our life, that we would displease Him and He would be ashamed of some of your actions or some of my actions. I've done those things in my life, and there has been grace and forgiveness for those things, but my heart is to please Him. You know, the expression is, you know, when we go before Him, that He says to you and to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, that will be a joy that comes to each of us if we're faithful to Him and keep the fear of the Lord in our lives, so that we live our lives in a way that shows the good news of what Christ has done in us. So this is the message that I wanted to bring today, that the gospel is the interface between the kingdom of God that is coming and us in the church, what God is building here and putting together and creating something that's beautiful. Because the kingdom comes and is expanded as each of our, we open up our hearts and receive His government into our hearts. And then we can go and share the gospel to all those around us and bring each of these six things of the Spirit of the Lord into what we're bringing as the gospel. So let me read them again. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. You see, it just didn't come and leave. It rested upon him. Just like the Spirit of God has come and rested upon us and lives in our heart. And then it says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. You see, this scripture describes the anointing. It describes the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of the eye. What a statement, huh? For us not to be judging one another or people around us by our eye, but judging them. It doesn't say we shouldn't judge, but bring judgment to them or understanding to them by the Spirit. That's what it's saying. Don't judge by what you see, but judge by the Spirit. Just like Jesus did when he brought wisdom to the woman caught in adultery, so that when the wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom could happen, he could bring forth mercy and the forgiveness of her sins. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? A beautiful picture of what we can carry in, because we have the Holy Spirit within us to bring that good news to all our friends and family. But we need the Lord. We need the Spirit of the Lord to do that. Because I know when I open my mouth, it always is like you put your foot into it, right? You know, but when I wait on the Lord and the Lord then brings wisdom or counsel through me, then I see a whole different level. I see something that brings mercy and truth together. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's why we should be such a joyful people. Because we have what Bruce talked about today. We have more than a smile to bring. We have the joy of the Lord to bring. And if we wait on the Lord, then he begins to bring wisdom and counsel and understanding to all the situations in our life. I remember quite a few years ago, our son was angry. And Robin and I saw it. And we didn't know what to do about it. We knew we needed to sit down and talk with him, but we didn't know what to say. We didn't really even know what the problem was. So we agreed together that we would pray and seek the Lord about this. And we did that. So at the time came when we sit down to talk with him, it was like he was ready to open up his heart and express why he was angry, and we could then understand it and receive it for what it was. Because everything he was thinking was wrong of why he was angry. His attitudes about us weren't right. His attitude about life was wrong. And yet, because we had time to pray about it and wait on the Lord and waited for that counsel, when we spoke to him, we were able to receive what he said to us and say to him calmly, "Well, this that you're thinking is not the way it was. It was like this." And it diffused the anger. And he was able to set it aside, and he began to change and not to be so angry. See, if I or Robin went in and said, "Why are you angry? What's your problem?" You see, that's not mercy. That's not the gospel. And so we have to lay down our lives, just like Christ picked up his cross and he laid down his life. Christ says to us also, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. And we had to do that. We had to lay down our own feelings about all of that situation and carry the cross to Christ and let him carry the thing and bring the good news to the situation. This is our life. This is what God has brought to us. It's the interface for us to bring the kingdom of God down to earth. It's the church. It's the gospel of the kingdom. That good news that brings mercy and salvation. Mercy and the forgiveness of sins. Mercy and truth to a dying and sick world. And you and I get to be a part of that. You and I get to be able to have the Spirit of God work in us, and then we sit back and see God do a miracle in someone's life, and we say, "Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of that." What a beautiful thing, huh? Well, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would help us. Give us strength. Give us that spirit of strength, oh God, that we would be able to come and lay down our lives to bring your good news to all those that are around us, oh God. Lord, we don't want to just be a group that comes together and enjoys you and never shares the good news about you. So, Lord, help us carry what you have given us to carry, the glory of the Christ in us. The gospel of the glory of Christ we carry within us, O God. We thank you for that, Lord, that we may pour it out upon all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I guess one little additive too. If you want to read a little bit more of this, some of the scripture was explained a little bit in a track that Dale Rumble did, the Gospel of the Kingdom. It's back there in the track rack, so enjoy.